This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to 5-on-3, WFUV's best if only hockey podcast. And this is a new little iteration we have going here. Sophia Smith, Daniel Melia. No producer today because we are on Zoom. So I guess I'm in the double. I am the center and also between the pipes at the same time. That is an analogy that makes sense. How are you guys doing today?
I'm fine.
I'm gonna
watch the game later at a bar in the city, so that should be fun.
Oh, that is fun.
Daniel?
I'm pretty good as well. Got my fill of hockey though, because I covered for Lou on the Rangers beat on Wednesday. So that was fun. But we'll talk more about that when we get to the Rangers section, I'm sure.
Well, you know what? Why don't we start with the Rangers? Because you were there, so that seems like a good place to start. They beat the Boston Bruins by a score of 3-2. The ever inconsistent Rangers, it feels like this year, put together what Sophia says was a great performance, and I'm sure you can attest to that. Did the Rangers play well against the Bruins, or was it the Bruins floundering yet again?
You know, it's funny that you would say that it was a great performance, Sophia, because I don't think that either of them had a great performance.
Yeah, I would say it was, like, decent, though. Like, it was a decent win. Defensively.
They needed to. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and defensively, yeah, 100%. In the postgame presser, Laviolette said that it was going to be that type. He knew it was going to be that type of game going in. These are two teams in the hunt for the wild card. Defense was going to be, you know, the battlefield. And the point of emphasis for both of them. And that was very much the case. Actually, one of the folks next to me on the like bridge there where the reporters are at said, this is the most boring game of hockey I've ever watched in the first period. Because yeah. By the halfway through the second period, we were well over one hit per minute combined between the two teams. I mean, that was the type of game it was. But I will say, despite it being ugly, it was exactly what the Rangers needed, especially since, and I know we're going to talk about him, JT Miller's line was involved in the physicality and was on the ice for the first goal. He had a big part in the first goal, and down the stretch, they made some critical plays on defense. Bruins had a number of opportunities that, yes, they floundered, failed to capitalize on, and I think that this new look Rangers team, since the trade, since the kind of identity shift, with the exception of that three-game stretch where they just couldn't seem to buy a stop defensively, their physicality has really been excellent.
Yeah, I agree. The physicality. The Rangers have 109 hits in those three games since JT Miller has showed up. That's the second most in the NHL this month. He has 11 of those hits, five of them against the Golden Knights, and one against the Bruins, which was a massive one, which gave the turnover, right, to Panarin's goal.
He doesn't get an assist, but he deserved one.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Credit him with an unofficial assist there. Sophia, since the trade, and for anyone who doesn't know, because I don't think we've had an episode since the trade, Rangers ship out Philip Hedel, Victor Mancini, and a 2025 first-round pick to the Canucks. I believe it's conditional, though, based on top, is it not like top 12 or something conditional? Anyway.
I think it's top 12.
I like that.
Top 12.
Yeah.
In return for JT Miller with Eric Brandstrom and Jackson Dorrington, Canucks fans are very unhappy with the trade. I want to know, Chris Drury, give him a grade for how he did. Did he cook?
Yes. I would probably give him an A. I mean, I was sad when like it was announced because I love Philip Hedel, but I think for this season, I think that JT Miller is going to be great. He's a great addition, and Mika looks alive again, and I think that that's because of Miller. But in terms of, like, down the stretch, shipping away, I know that Hedel was, like, one hit away from an injury that was career-ending, but down the stretch, I don't know how the team's going to look, just because, like, Kako and Hedel are gone now, and both of them didn't live up to their potential, but I don't know how it's going to go down the stretch.
Yeah, this certainly means though that Mika Zibanejad's probably going to be moved, right? Can we at some point at least can we agree on that?
don't know about that.
Yeah,
You don't know
I have a
about
hard
that.
time seeing him not playing in a blue sweater for the foreseeable future. I mean, when you look at this team, just like the way I watched them on the ice, he is the heart and soul. I obviously Panarin is the best player, but they just are a better team. They look like they have more energy. They are more alive
Yeah.
when Zibanejad is on the ice.
I was at the game and like I love Chris Kreider and he shorthanded game winning goal and
Yeah,
he's
that's
had like a
crazy.
really lackluster season. If people have been complaining, he has back problems, but I'm pretty sure he got up to like 24 miles per hour or something. And I was like, how did he move that fast? If you watch the clip, it's insane. He hasn't like we haven't seen that from him in a long time, and so to be there and it was electric.
I only say that about Zibanejad because obviously he had to shift over to the wing, right?
Yeah, but I
And
think that it's good for him because it takes away the defensive responsibility a little bit more, so he can just focus on offense. So.
yeah. I mean, Miller's making a lot of money for the next 5 seasons. If you're just looking cap wise, that's a lot of money locked up in three centermen who are aging. If you're gonna, I don't know if you can keep all of them. So that's the only reason I say that. But maybe we're speculating a little bit too far into the future. The Rangers play the Penguins tonight. Sidney Crosby is out. Malkin is out. What are you guys looking for the Rangers tonight?
I'm looking
You
for
take this one
scoring.
first, Sophia. Yeah.
I'm looking for scoring up and down the lineup. I want to see the good defensive play to continue. I think Quick's playing, so that should be interesting. But yeah, no, I want to see like a 5-1 victory. I don't want it to be close. I want to see like this is a team that they should beat, and so they should win.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'd agree
it
with that
does seem like the
assessment.
Penguins have given up,
So
right? Like,
sorry.
I mean, they shipped out some of their guys, right, Daniel?
Obviously, a couple of relatively easy games on the schedule for them recently that have made them look decent again. And they're gonna kind of undo my point here since they lost the shootout one to the Devils. But generally speaking, I don't like seeing the Penguins stay close. I'm with Sophia on just take charge early, set the tone, and then do not let up. Especially because for a team without Crosby and without Malkin tonight, they should not win this game. They should not even have a hope of winning this game. Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh, but you let them score 1-0, 2-0, you're giving them too much of a chance. So I want to see Quick be a brick wall in front of net, at least through the first period. I want to see an early goal, preferably one on the power play. I feel like the Rangers' power play, well, I don't feel like, I watch them miss a lot of opportunities
Oh
against
my God,
the
they just
Bruins.
pass and they never shoot the puck. It's so
Yeah, they
frustrating.
got the one though. They got that one on the deflection from
No,
Trocheck in front.
it was after the power play expired,
Yeah,
but
it was just
still.
a it was like a but it resulted from the pass is what I'm talking about. But I want to see them, hustle on offense, go out, score some early goals. Just don't let Pittsburgh stay close.
Yeah, and they play tomorrow against Columbus, and both of these games, Columbus is in the race too, so like both of these games are just must wins. They need those points. These teams aren't like exceptionally amazing. I think that they have to win these games.
Yeah,
Yeah, they put themselves behind the eight ball, early on with the losses and that stretch where they just could not win anything. So
Now,
every point counts right now.
I do want to be fair to the Rangers here. Since January 2nd, they've scored 57 goals, which is tied for the most in the league. 9 times they've scored four more goals, including 5 in their past 8. When they score at least 4 goals this season, they're 15-3-3. So, they're getting the production. If Quick is in net, I do also want to give some Quick flowers to him. Haha. 400 NHL wins, that's the most as an American-born goaltender. I watched him growing up. I saw him play when I was 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and continued to watch him. He won 2 Stanley Cups with the Kings, played a little bit for the Vegas Golden Knights, and now is a New York Ranger. Just what is Jonathan Quick meant to the Rangers since joining their team last year, and what does it mean for 400 wins?
I was so surprised when last year he basically, I don't, Igor was injured and he carried the team. Igor was injured and then he had a really rough stretch, and Quick was phenomenal. And like, you can tell that he is this like amazing locker room presence who just brings everyone together and is like this huge leader for the team. Especially like Rempy, I think, lives with him. Like, I love Jonathan Quick and I love what he brings to the team. And yeah, 400 is amazing and I'm so happy for him. And they took so long to get it for him too. Like, he tried.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a few games where he was playing and I was like, I'm gonna see it. It's gonna happen. No, and then it took so long. But they did it. He did it. So congratulations to him.
Yeah,
Great, great player, you know.
it's so nice just to see Rangers fans talk about how much they love Jonathan Quick after he just demolished them in 2014. Anyway, let's
You
move
had to bring
on.
it up, huh?
Oh, I always have to bring it up. Let's move on because the Islanders are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. I would argue top three hottest teams. They are 8-1 in their last nine and have beat some really good teams to do it. They beat Vegas, they beat Colorado. It seems like they're rolling, but the scariest part is, or not the scariest part, but the most interesting part is that Matt Barzal and Noah Dobson, two of probably their four best players, have been out for a long time, and that doesn't include Scott Mayfield, Ryan Pulock, Marcus Hogberg, Semyon Varlamov, Mike Riley, Hudson Fashion. It's a litany of injuries. Long Island's turned into a hospital wing, but outside of that, everyone has really pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. They've been fantastic. Sorokin is doing it alone. He doesn't have a backup. Both goalies are injured. He won first star of the week last year after several excellent performances. It's remarkable. And everyone is skeptical, which I think is fair. You don't know how long a team with this many injuries, especially to a star like Matt Barzal, can hold on for. But my friend Ethan Sears at the New York Post wrote an article that I thought was really good, just the headline. Islanders fans are worrying about the win streak. Just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. You'll see what happens. They put themselves into such a hole, just like the Rangers did earlier this year, and now they're, I think, 3 points ahead of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, wow is right. No one expected this. I don't know. Is there anything that I haven't touched on that you guys, what's going on Long Island, guys? This is ridiculous.
You know, in an 82-game season, I think that there are just going to be these stretches where bad teams play great and great teams play bad. And I mean, when you look at the Islanders roster, especially with the injuries right now, they're not a good team. They may not be bad. I mean, okay, we're not talking about, you know, this year's
No.
Nashville for whatever reason,
On
or
paper, they're a good
Chicago.
team, I would say. They're a decent
But with
team on
all the
paper.
injuries, I think that
Sure.
they look mediocre. Okay, but you know, there can be stretches of kind of entropy. That's how hockey works. And that's especially how hockey works when you have a goalie who is standing on his damn head every night in the net. I mean, it has been just an unbelievable display over the past really 10 games from Sorokin. He's just unbelievable. And so I would say, yes, I'm skeptical, but they'll go as far as he can take them, honestly. If he keeps playing like this all year, they might just sneak in.
And they're gonna have to
Yeah.
do that. They're gonna have to because they play a back-to-back. They play Winnipeg tonight, which, I mean, if there's gonna
Wow,
be a
big
goalie to
game.
stop Ilya Sorokin, it'll be Connor Hellebuyck, and we'll get into that in a second. But after that, it's a back-to-back. They go straight to Minnesota next, and that's before the Four Nations. But you don't have another goaltender to ride. So, like you said, Daniel, you just gotta let it
Wow.
happen.
Yeah, they're 1 point ahead of the Rangers as of right now.
Sorry.
But yeah, I'm surprised about this stretch, but also, and we're not all the way there yet, but like they seem to do this every year. They sneak into the playoffs after having a good stretch beforehand. I don't know how long it's gonna last. And obviously Sorokin is carrying them, as we said, so
Yeah,
should be interesting.
He's stopped 170 of his last 177 shots
Wow.
in a
God,
six
man.
start winning streak.
Oh my God.
Pretty
Wow.
remarkable stuff. Patrick Waugh, obviously knowing goaltenders, he says we have the one of the best goalies in the league. So when you're doing a good job protecting the house and forcing them to take long shots with no screens, it's a lot easier for him. Which is true. I think the defense has really stepped up, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but Tony DeAngelo has been remarkable as a New York Islander. He's been nothing short of remarkable. And it pains me to say because that I it doesn't There are some questionable things about his character.
Yeah.
But putting his character aside, he has been protecting the house extremely well. He scored the OT winner against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which you cannot put too lightly. He's been amazing. And I think on that defensive pair, he really unlocks Alex Romanov as well. I think Romanov feels a little bit weighed down by Noah Dobson, so that when Noah Dobson goes down and you need someone to replace him, it just looks like Romanov's more free to take those blasts on the blue line and not worry so much about Noah Dobson losing the puck or coughing one up. So honestly, all the fill-in guys that they've had step up have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, plus six in six games for D'Angelo. Really, his
Wow.
talent was never the issue. Off ice things notwithstanding, he has been tremendous.
The
And I
locker
think you're
room
right.
likes him. The locker room says that they really like. I mean, what are you going to say, though? That you hate
I
your
mean, yeah,
teammate?
you know,
Are you going to say you hate your teammate?
okay. Do you expect Patrick Roy to get up there and say, like, yeah, okay, I mean, he sucks as a person, but he's a great hockey player. No, stats don't lie. Plus six in six games is remarkable. I think you're absolutely right to pick out that pairing, especially with the way Dobson can kind of take up too much space on the blue line in certain situations. So we'll see if it's sustainable, though, because the defense is kind of reliant on the goalie to look good, right? That plus six probably helped by Sorokin just being, the inhuman miracle right now. So
That's fair.
see if it sticks around. And also interesting just in the future to think about when some big kind of space takers like Barzal come back to the ice. How does that impact D'Angelo? Because right now he's playing with the second unit, basically.
Right. That's a good question. I think honestly, it having Barzal out there might help D'Angelo fires some in, Barzal's great at getting people open. And if you give Tony D'Angelo space, we all know his shot is not the issue with his game. So that could be interesting. We'll see how they match up against the Winnipeg Jets tonight and then the Minnesota Wild the next night. Just touching very briefly on the Winnipeg Jets. They have 37 wins this season, and Hellebuck has 33 of them. He has a save percentage of .925. And a goals against of 2.04 leads the league for minutes played and shots faced, which is the craziest part to me because you're putting up those stats while facing the most amount of volume. So it's not like you're getting thrown out there against the really easy teams. He's, for lack of a better term, he's kicking ass. And it's in the heart conversation. Is he the favorite right now? What do you guys think?
I think that he's obviously making a huge impact. The team is, well, they're first in goals against per game, first in goals per game, which not his doing, but and first in save percentage. So yeah, I would definitely say he's in the conversation, especially like going forward and seeing how every like if this continues and like it's very stable and he's very clearly the driving force, then yeah, I would definitely say he's in the conversation.
But do you
I
have him
think,
winning?
yeah.
If not,
Well,
who? Because
who else would it be?
Leon Draisaitl.
McKinnon,
Yeah, I was gonna say probably
Draisaitl.
Draisaitl.
McKinnon's not a bad choice either. I
Yeah, but
think,
Colorado.
we'll see. There hasn't been a goalie to win the Hart since Carey Price. I forget what year that was.
Yeah. Oh, mid 2010s, I think.
Mid 20, I
I'll take
would
a
say,
look.
yeah, 20, 2015, sounds about right.
Yeah, it was
Connor Hellebuyck
2015.
might win the Hart, man. I know
I mean, he's
Draisaitl
got a
now
good case for
leads.
it. Yeah.
Draisaitl now
Yeah.
leads the league in goals, and is
Yeah, and
second
he's
in
only
points.
two off the lead with McKinnon in points, so.
There you go. I think if you lead in goals and points, you have a pretty good shot of
Yeah.
Tough to
winning
argue
the
with that,
heart.
yeah.
That's
One
for
thing
sure.
though, on Winnipeg, watched their game against the Capitals the other night. That was really impressive. You go into Washington, probably the toughest place to win this season, and you go and beat those guys. I mean, that was something. Hellebuck actually didn't have his best game that day, but didn't matter. You know, the
Yeah.
rest of the Wings stepped up. The Wings, Jets, please. Rest of the Jets stepped up and managed to hold on after the Capitals tied the game late. It was Ovechkin. He evened it at four, and then they ended up pulling one back. I forget who scored it, but it was really remarkable. I think that they're the real deal this year. We've said that before, right? I had that year where I thought they might be able to dethrone Vegas, and then they got swept. That was really not fun to watch. But
Well,
I, you know, that's what I said earlier about goalies. They'll go as far as Hellebuck can take him. I think he can take him to the top.
well,
okay.
last season in the playoffs, first round, he let in like 5 goals a game. So,
Yes, I remember, but I am a Hellebuck truther. I think this man can figure it out, okay?
he's pretty remarkable.
How
You
many goalies
mentioned
have we
Vegas.
seen, you know, that have screwed up big time in their first couple playoff appearances and then rebounded? It took Braden Holtby forever to be that guy for the Capitals, and then he figured it out. So,
Yeah,
can happen.
Braden Holtby was that guy for a year, for sure.
Just the one, though.
But he was totally that guy. I absolutely. You mentioned the Vegas Golden Knights. They broke a big skid that they were on in New Jersey. Just yesterday, they beat the Devils, sorry, 3-1. The Devils, man, what's going on? It feels like they can't get anything rolling like they were earlier in the year. It just feels like they're sort of floundering right now. Stefan Nason clearly unhappy with the way that they're playing, and they're not scoring, and they look flat. What's going on in New Jersey, guys?
It seems like after the Christmas break, they've just taken like several steps down. They're not playing with energy. They're not scoring, as you said. They're not beating anyone to pucks. It just looks flat. And last night, the shots were 40-15 in favor of Vegas. Like, that's not gonna win you any games.
Yeah.
So.
And Jake Allen put up 37 saves. So even
Yeah.
having Markstrom, which he's hurt right now, that
Exactly.
wouldn't have done anything, you know?
Exactly. And
I
fans are
just.
fans. Devils fans are like, we're not gonna make the playoffs. And like, that's a crazy thing to say, but I know,
Yeah.
like, fans are very clearly not happy with the way the team is looking, and rightfully so.
I just don't know what to make of it, honestly. You know, there's well enough, more than enough talent on this roster
Yeah.
be winning games, especially offensively. You know, I remember when they first traded for Timo Meier, I was like, oh my God, these people are stacked. Granted, it was after he had scored the 5 goals in the game for
Right.
the Sharks. So maybe I was overrating him, but hey, he got that winner against the Penguins the other night. So, but I just don't understand it. You know, when you look at their roster and then you look at the way that they have been scoring in recent games, right? Look at all their games. One goal, two goals. It's like,
Yeah.
come on, guys. So I think something's got to change. Mix up the lines, you know, call somebody up, send somebody down, just get some new energy in the locker room because the vibes are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think to their first periods, they never seem to jump out of the gate. It seems like, you know, man, yeah, they have so many slow first periods. It feels like they're just getting behind super hard. The Devils have 26 games this year with an XG fewer than one in the first period. Of those
Wow.
26, 8 were within 0.2 of the average, which is not great. Wow, geez, yeah, this is really bad. But that's one of those issues where is being bad in the first period an effort thing? Is that what it is? Is that why Nason would be so pissed? Is because there's no reason why a team should be worse in the first period than they are for the rest of the game. And you never want to be chasing in hockey. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but last season they obviously didn't make the playoffs, but it was like a joke where the admin, whoever runs the Twitter, like they were always posting one of like them. Like they were like the first goal. The Devils never scored the first goal last season. And now it just seems like that's continuing. So
Yeah. Stephen Nason last night said, "What are the they?" A reporter asked him, "What are the Devils lacking?" And he just said, "Care."
Wow.
They brought that to Sheldon Keefe, and Sheldon Keefe said, "I don't like that word because it implies that the players don't care. They do care, but we have to learn to grow." So what did Nason mean? He says, "More that we care about each other, and more that we care about winning games and taking care of the puck." What? So that does mean caring. What are you talking about, Stephen Nason? Man, all right. Well, they go up to Montreal on Saturday. They're playing their last game before we go to Four Nations. That's like a 2 week break, isn't it? That's crazy. They will have Nico Hischier back, I believe, after the break. They shouldn't be too far from getting Jacob Markstrom. But having Hischier and Markstrom doesn't fix those issues, right? So
No.
I don't know. Where do you guys, this is a little fun exercise, where do you guys have the Devils finishing in the Metropolitan Division this year? Why not? Just throw it out there.
I kind of feel like they're not going to move. I think they're going to stay in third.
Yeah, I'm inclined to say third because who's going to pass them? I think the team behind them with the best chance is probably the Rangers. All due respect to the season that Columbus is having, but I don't really buy it. I don't think that they could finish. I don't see them finishing third in the Metro. And you're giving me a look, Nick, but I'm sorry. I don't see the Islanders finishing in third in the
That's
Metro.
fair.
So and the Penguins or Flyers, I mean, please. Come on. Let's be
Yeah,
serious. So
exactly.
it's I think they just by pure nature of attrition that these teams that are hot right now behind them will cool off a bit. I think that the standings are going to look pretty similar to how they are. I got the Rangers finishing fourth, and the Islanders fifth, and then
Okay.
Columbus. But it's going to be fairly close. I just think that it's really hard for me to see the Devils falling behind any of the teams that they're currently ahead of.
It's
So
just
they're
like
not
going
moving up.
into the playoffs though, how are they gonna? I don't see them beating Carolina anyway in the first
No,
rounds.
absolutely not.
No.
They have first round
Right.
exit written all over them if they keep playing like
Yeah.
this. You gotta score
Yeah.
goals to win games. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You gotta score goals to win games. Expert analysis from Daniel Melia.
Hey, I call
No,
it
that's
like I
very
see
true.
it,
He
man.
calls it like he sees it. Before we wrap this up, I do want to talk about the Four Nations tournament because is it
How do you
right that
feel
I
about
don't care that much?
it?
Is that wrong? And that worries me because if I don't care that much, I feel like the players might not care that much. I mean, there's not a lot of prize money in that. Sure, there's representing your country. Yeah, okay. I'm not sold on it, but here, let me just give you the quick rundown of it. February 12th to the 20th for in Montreal and in Boston. It'll be at Bell Center and TD Garden, of course. The four teams are Team Canada, Team Finland, Team Sweden, and Team United States. Now, we've seen a litany of injuries sort of cast its shadow over this. Obviously, Sidney Crosby will probably not be playing, which will seriously hurt Team Canada, I think. But do you guys have any preliminary thoughts? And can I just get who you think is going to win?
I have been very excited about it. Quinn Hughes is another one that's injured, kind of. They don't
Right.
really know. They haven't announced anything, but it sucks that they're gonna miss him if they do. But I'm excited. I definitely like want to see the players actually trying and putting effort into it, and that'll
Yeah.
make for like a better quality tournament. But I'm excited to just see everyone together. I love the whole league, and I'm just excited to watch guys that you see are like rivals play together.
That's
But
true.
I hope that it goes well, and that the players are not just like doing it because they have to. And then I would say for winner, probably Team Canada, I guess,
Really?
or US, but
I have US winning.
really
Yeah,
interesting.
that team's pretty nasty, man. The only thing that does worry me a little bit is their defense, just because Brock Faber worries me a little bit. I mean, not Adam Fox. Adam Fox and Quinn Hughes are amazing, but
Yeah.
I think Werenski's hurt right now, isn't he?
I
For Columbus. So,
don't know.
and they
They
also have Connor
yeah.
Hellebuyck as their goaltender. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But like Canada has McDavid and McKinnon, so, and
Yes, they
Crosby
do.
if he plays. So I don't know. It
Yes,
could
they
go either
do.
way, I feel.
I don't know, Daniel, what do you got?
I'm honestly a bit with you, Nick. And that's not an indictment in terms of not being that excited. That's not an indictment of the tournament as much as it is to say this NHL season has been really exciting. There's been a lot of narratives that I have really enjoyed. Obviously, to the most fun, I think, is watching Ovi chase down Gretzky. I mean, he's been tremendous, right? But we've also had some really cool stuff happen. We talked about hot teams. We didn't talk about the Red Wings 7 in a row. The Yzerpe plan might finally be working. It only took it, like 8 years, but and then Columbus, what a great story they've had so far. Again, don't think it's gonna stick around, but I've enjoyed seeing them. And also we've just had so many enormous trades. Like to get JT Miller, the Rangers did that deal with Carolina with Mikko Rantanen. If you told me that was gonna happen before the season, I would have been like, what? So I just think that this is exciting in that. Like it's a little break, and then we're going to see what teams come out afterwards for the NHL. But with the tournament in mind, I will watch some of it for sure. I got Canada. I'm sorry, but I think Canada just it's house money when you've got as much talent on that roster as they do. Because McDavid's the best player in the world, and it's not close to me. And he lost a Stanley Cup this last year. Watched a video actually. Like it was an expose or something of him after the game in the locker room. I just saw it and I was like, holy, oh my God, this guy, he's gonna win something this year. So, and also, let us not underestimate the impact of Canada's rising beef with the US over our political situations, booing the national anthem. I'm just saying they may have some extra motivation to go after the big boys. So, one thing
And
though.
talk about going after the big boys on Team Canada. They're really physical. I'm looking at this team. I mean, Konechny, Marchand, Sam Reinhart, Mark Stone. This is a team of
Oh, they're
big
gonna hit.
boys, you know?
They're gonna hit hard.
But are they gonna hit? That's the thing. Because
Well, it's a good
if
point.
they treat this like the All-Star game and no one is trying,
Yeah,
I'm going to be
exactly.
super mad.
But if they
I
treat
don't
it
think
like
so, though.
it's a big deal, then it could be so exciting.
Who's to say?
I think that it when you're wearing your team your national colors, you just play up more, right? The thing I was going to say though, Adam Fox, you mentioned him. He was the pick of the bunch for me.
He was the pick of the bunch for him, and out goes Daniel's audio. That's all right. I mean, I don't have too much more to say about Four Nations. You got anything else, Sophia? I think we'll just let Daniel sort of deal with his thing here.
I was going to say that. Like the US obviously has the leg up in goalies, but other than that, I don't know. I
Just
think Canada's
to
got it.
refute what he was saying, people will play better when they're wearing their national jerseys. Ask the World Junior Canada team, huh? Ask them about playing well for what's on the front of their jersey, because they can't seem to do it every year. So eat it, Daniel. You can't even respond right now. I think that'll do it though.
Oh.
As he's coming back, that's all right. Rip the Fordham Wi-Fi. Hello, Daniel. Welcome back.
Dude, that was tragic.
I just made the point and I said, thank God you can't refute it, but you say that teams play better when they have their country on the front of their sweater. What about the World Junior team for Canada? They seem to choke every single year. Shh, okay,
Doesn't
that's what I
count. It's
thought.
juniors.
That doesn't it's juniors, it's juniors. That's fair. Anything to say, Daniel, before we wrap up?
All I was trying to say before was I thought Adam Fox was the pick of the bunch for the Rangers on Wednesday when I saw him. He's been playing great hockey recently.
He's great.
America may need a superhero in the tournament. Maybe it'll be him. That would be kind of weird, but it would also be kind of awesome. So
Yeah. All right.
that would
Well,
be.
hey, they've got a few Rangers on that Team USA. Kreider will also be playing for them as well. JT Miller, Trocheck, right? So how do you not think Team USA is gonna win? Do you have no
No,
faith in your players?
I want Team USA to win, but I just looking at the roster. I mean, I don't know. Both rosters are good. I'm excited to see the Kachucks playing together. So it could go either way.
All right, well, we now know Sophia hates America, and that will
No.
do it for us on this episode of 5 on 3, WFUV's Best If Only podcast. I'd like to thank Daniel and Sophia for joining me. Enjoy the last games before Four Nations. Enjoy Four Nations. Hopefully they'll try. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Playing for the name on the front of their sweater rather than the name on the back of their sweater. That'll do it for us. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been a production of 91.7 WFUV Sports.